Hey everybody, this is Case in Point, episode 22, and I'm your host, Justin Case, and with me this evening, I have my co-host, Jody Yearden.
Hello! Hey everybody, how's it going? Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I've been sick for the last 2 weeks, so, and plus I had a vacation thrown in the middle, and it feels good to be back, and we're getting close to Thanksgiving. Probably be talking about that today. There's a lot of things in the pipes. We got some new movies coming out, which I have not had a chance to go watch yet. But Jody, you have seen. Why don't you tell us what you've been watching at the movie theater? You've been a busy guy.
Yeah, since the last we recorded, I did make it out to see Thor Ragnarok, and just a couple nights ago, I made it out to see Justice League, so I try not to give any spoilers as far as those go. I found Thor to be enjoyable. It was enjoyable. I had a few hang-ups about it, but it's a fun movie. It's a lot of fun, and I guess as far as Justice League goes, it has its moments. It's no Wonder Woman. It's no Wonder Woman. I'll tell you that much right now. It's not. Wonder Woman was a better movie. And there's things about Justice League I like, and then there's things about Justice League I strongly dislike. So there you go. without getting spoilery, you know.
Yeah. Well, but since last episode, I have since watched Wonder Woman, and it was pretty good. It's not like it was a great movie, and I didn't really have any quibbles with it. Yeah, I have not seen the other two yet. And
I will say for Justice League, she's great. She's great in that. It's more of the same. Gal Gadot is very. She's probably the bright spot of Justice League, as far as I'm concerned, and the bright spot of that entire universe, which is really, you know, when things were announced, was not something I was expecting, and I find her to be a very pleasant surprise. She's very, very likable, a very likable character, and more of the same in Justice League. So,
do you think it's the way they're writing her, or do you think it's her acting ability?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, I could see that.
And Wonder Woman, she kind of had a lot of that fish out of water, like looking at life with very, you know, when she come to, I don't mind giving spoilers of that, because that movie's 6 months old. So
right,
if you haven't seen that, that's on you. But I don't even think I'm saying much by saying that. But she has a very optimistic, almost like naive like view on the world. And it's a very, you know, it's a very refreshing look at the world. Just some of her acting and some of her dialogue and that are very, like, why are you guys fighting? Talking about war, and it's a great movie. It's a really good movie.
It's kind of funny for, you know, she has kind of like, you know, kind of wondering, like, why are you fighting? Because it's like they're all warriors, you know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I kind of wish that maybe they should have, like, okay, this might be a dumb question for me to ask, but if these are all obviously like warrior, it's a warrior community of Amazons, right? I guess, are they technically Amazons, Jody?
Yeah.
Okay. So they obviously have this large contingent of women that can fight. They have all these crazy skills on horses, bows, all that stuff. They obviously have been fighting somebody on this island or around there, or Themyscira, whoever's in the realm. I don't know. I've never really dug into too much of that side of Wonder Woman, because I've always seen her just in the comics with the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they fight on that side of the veil that they would need to have those kind of skills?
You know, I have a lot of Wonder Woman comics, but they delve, especially a lot of like what that is based on is like the 80s, kind of like George Perez run, which really digs deep into the like Greek mythology.
Okay.
And so a lot of those type of things, like Ares, of course, that's in the movie, and his minions from the underworld, I suppose you could say. It's really hard to say as far as, I guess I'm kind of blanking out.
It's probably like the New Gods kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
That's kind of a different thing, but they fight a lot of like hellions and stuff like that. She her her rogues gallery is kind of on the weak side, and for the most part, the Amazonians are there, but she comes to man's world, so a lot of that has to deal with her being here. She lives in Boston, at least pre-New 52, she lived in Boston.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of it had to do with that. And I have some of those where she is on the island and fighting, it dives pretty deep into the Greek stuff, but I've not read those in probably 20 years. I haven't read them in a very long time. Keep meaning to dig some of them out and give them another try, because it's George Perez. He writes and draws it, and his art's top-notch. So I'd really like to read some of that and give it another try, but I bet the last time I read those, I was probably 15 years old, and a lot, like, your eyes kind of glaze over when you get into some of those 80s comics, and you turn the page, and you see all this, you know, dense exposition on Mercury and Hades, and let's talk about, Hermes and all these other Greek gods, and you're like, I want to, can't you just fight Circe or the cheetah?
Yeah. Very text heavy, which is like, I actually enjoy that now. I was like you, like when I was a kid, I didn't get into heavy text heavy type stuff, but yeah. And I'm not trying to make this like a full comic podcast. I was just curious as to, you know, they had all these women there. So maybe, you know, it's kind of funny that she's like,
well, they do a lot of training and they're immortal. So, you know, if they fought Ares thousands of years ago, they're immortal, so it would be the ones that were still left would be the ones that'd be around to fight him, hypothetically, in the movie.
I'd probably just play shuffleboard if I had all that time on my hands. or play horseshoes or something, you know. Okay, so you really enjoyed the Justice League, and obviously every movie's going to have things that are quibbles, I guess, to depending on the viewer and how they think things should be or whatever, but I don't, unless it's like, there's either a lot of things wrong, or there's a big thing wrong that kind of like ruins it for me. I'm generally a pretty easygoing movie viewer, and, but, you know, it's kind of like, with the Justice League trailer, the first one I watched wasn't that great to me.
No, we talked about that. We talked about that. I think it was the last episode. Don't put words into my mouth. I didn't really enjoy it. I'm going to, if on the Yurden movie scale, 1 to 10 movie scale, I think I'd probably give it a 6. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So that's not, there's a lot. There's things to really like about it, and then there's just things that really took me out of it. So.
Well,
and this comes from somebody who owns like 5,000 DC comics. And I feel like I probably could have done a better job with some of the characterization than the screenwriters did. So, of course, fanboys always know best. So, a lot of things really took me out of it. But there's also some really good stuff in there, too. So, like I said, I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything, but...
Well, I was going to put... I'm putting words in your mouth. I sent you a script. You're supposed to read everything I wrote for you. Gotcha. So, how about the other one?
What's that, Thor?
Yeah, how would you think of that?
I liked Thor more than I liked Justice League. And I think it was even more glaring where I had watched Thor a couple weeks before and then watched Justice League this weekend. And... I mean, Thor is not my favorite Marvel movie, but when I watch Thor and then watch Justice League, I think, Marvel's got a formula that they kind of follow now, I think, with their movies. You know, they're very heavy on the comedy, sometimes maybe more than it needs to be, but it works, and it's funny.
I think about 50% of it's funny that they try to do, because sometimes it's like, all right, you guys are trying too hard.
Well, that was my problem with Justice League is it's a much... Well, Wonder Woman had some humor in it, too, but this was a much lighter movie than, say, Man of Steel or Batman v Superman. It was a much lighter... It had a much lighter tone to it than that, and that was appreciated. But there were moments where a lot of the jokes fell, like... Not even just flat with me. Like, when I watch Thor, it's very hard for me to not compare the two, because I've watched them within a couple weeks of each other. And with Thor, I mean, my theater was they loved the jokes. People were laughing. People were cheering. Like, people were really into the movie. And with Justice League had jokes, and there was none of that. People were, I didn't laugh. I didn't hear. It was very mild reception as far as that goes. And I don't know. I just think in some of the elements of the DC movie universe, it seems like they're playing catch up. I mean, they are playing catch up. The Marvel movie universe is a juggernaut. They are playing catch up, and there are some elements to the movie, some elements that they have put in their movies that seem copycat and kind of desperate. And it really takes you out of it, where you say, boy, this is really, and I'm a DC guy. I'm a huge DC guy. And I watch the movie and go, okay, if this looks desperate and second rate to me, how is the general public going to feel about this? They're going to see it the same way, you know?
Well, you know, after you guys had watched it, you guys all went and watched it in a theater and we were talking about it and stuff. He's giving me a quick rundown and, you know, his question was like, why don't they just have the lady, I think it was, there's a lady that wrote the movie, the Wonder Woman movie, right? It was, and
yeah, it's Patty Jenkins who directed Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. And so he's like, well, she should just do the other ones. And I go, well, that's a lot of work. I mean, you're going to burn someone out. So you know, if you have them do everything, you know, and it would be nice to be able to do that. But I look at some of the directors are like, well, I can't work on both franchises, you know, because it's just like ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like all the timelines and everything you got to balance, and you know, it's crazy. But I need to get caught up on my movies. Yeah.
Well, it's worth a watch. For what it's worth, all the reviews I've read have been super positive. People really seem to enjoy the movie. I just know with myself and our group of friends that I went with, who are for the most part pretty big DC guys.
Yeah.
I think everybody thought it was okay. I don't think anybody said, oh, I hate it. But there was definitely issues, and, you know, it was definitely lacking in a few areas. But like I said, Wonder Woman was great. She's great in it. Batman, I think Ben Affleck and the Batman in the costume and that particular suit looks fantastic. It looks like it came right out of the comics. It's a nice looking suit.
That's good.
He looks good in it. He's a good Bruce Wayne. I'm on board with him, because I wasn't so much after Batman versus Superman, but I'm okay with him.
Yeah,
I thought he did a good job. You know, because this isn't all going to be about comics, but I wanted to. You were talking about the Wonder Woman books here a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Today is November 18th. And did you know that today is the 25th anniversary of Superman 75, the Death of Superman issue?
No, and now I feel old.
No, I saw that. And I knew it was coming up, but did you ever have any of those? Did you ever get a chance to read that? I'm sure you remember all the news reports and everything. I'm sure you remember it coming out.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, I know. I remember all of the stuff that I'd personally heard, because I remember Dan Rather went on the CBS Evening News and said he pretty much treated it like a real event. You know what I mean? Quote unquote, where someone like a actual real person had died. And I mean, it was like, and I remember thinking, you know, here I am, you know, it's like, you know, I was like a preteen or whatever, you know, we were at the time, you know what I mean? And I did not, do you remember that when Dan Rather did that? It was on CBS.
Sure. It was really, I mean, I was, at the time, I'd been buying comics since I was little, probably 5 or 6, but kind of off and on.
Jason and I were hot and heavy. And see, here's the thing, is at that point, Jody, Jason and I were reading X-Men and I was reading Spider-Man. And that was like Executioner Song and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep, and so, right during that same winter,
yeah. Yeah, and so, like, I didn't read any DC. I was a Marvel guy at that point. But I remember there were some kids I knew at school that had bought the comics, so I read it when I was at their house. And I remember, like, the scene where, like, Superman and Doomsday hit each other for one final blow so hard they shattered all the windows and stuff, right? And it was like, I loved Superman when I was a little kid, you know? I've always liked the... his costume and stuff, his powers are cool and everything. But I didn't really have a lot of the comic books. But, you know, I was really kind of upset with the comic industry when they killed him off like that. You know, because it's like, you're not going to do that to Spider-Man. Why are you going to do it to Superman? And so that was kind of going through my mind. And, no, I mean, I remember all of that. And, you know, I had the white polybagged Return of... yeah.
Adventures of Superman, number 500.
Yeah, there you go. And I
found in every quarter bin in America.
Yeah. And so it was kind of like... That was a funny thing about it. It was like, when they decided to bring him back, they kind of watered it down. You know, it's like they weren't prepared. They're like, oh, crap, we just killed off, like, you know... One of our two best known characters of DC, or one of our flagship characters. So we got to do something about this, you know.
Well, it was always in the plans to kill him off. The whole thing was a big promotional stunt.
Oh, was
it? And it worked, like you said, with the Dan Rather thing. At that point, I don't think you'd ever really seen anything mainstream like for comic books.
Dude,
it was a big deal.
It was total kayfabe. You know, and it's a wrestling term for those who aren't familiar for making everything seem like it's real, that it's unintentional. And so
I remember we were in sixth grade. It was in the Weekly Reader because I cut the article out,
really?
And put it up on my wall. Yeah, it was in the Weekly Reader.
Wow,
that's a big deal.
That's a far stretch.
It had the I think it was the Funeral for a Friend Part One. It had the cover. That's the picture they used for the article where he's like laying on the ground. And
yeah.
The ground is all cracked underneath
and
him.
Lois and is crying. And is that the one?
Where so, she's,
yeah.
It's right after that. It's
basically okay.
The same moment, but it's right after he just passed away.
Gotcha.
But it was, I had just gotten into comics with the Panic in the, well, yeah, I did it on that half episode earlier this year, with the Panic in the Sky storyline, which was like 6 months prior to that, and that was Superman 2. So that summer of 92 was, I was really starting to get into comics. So once the death of Superman happened, that was like a huge deal. I went from store to store to try to find the parts. I think I got a couple of issues leading up to it, but I didn't find Superman 75 until we went to a flea market, I think, that weekend, and I got a third printing for $5. My parents bought it for me, and I couldn't care less. I just wanted to read it.
You know? You wanted to fill the gaps, yeah. Yeah.
And look, they ended up they took all the tie-in issues, and the Death of Superman trade paperback came out like December 6th. Came out 2 weeks later because it was such a hot,
right? I remember that
deal, and I ended up getting the Death of Superman trade for Christmas that year. Which I, being 11 and just being into comics, I didn't even know anything about trade paperbacks at the time. I didn't know they existed, that they would combine all these issues into one book. So when I opened that up Christmas morning, I was blown away because I wanted it so bad. I wanted to be able to read it and. Here were all the issues of it. So that was kind of a gift that I'll never forget. My mom and dad had found it someplace for me, and it was a huge deal. But just like you were saying, the whole thing for me was when you're 11, and like you said, it was kind of kayfabe. You didn't know that the whole thing was a big marketing ploy, and they already planned on bringing him back a few months later. You just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You didn't know any better. So when they did it, it was like, oh my gosh, they're not gonna bring him back. What are they gonna do? We were naive.
Well, yeah, and the thing was is like I remember one of the issue comics that stands out for me was, which one was it where it had Superboy with his side of his head shaved and he's got those round, very very early 90s looking sunglasses that are like the circles.
Probably that Adventures of Superman 500 in the white bag, because that was the first appearance of all of those guys.
That's not the one I had.
You didn't have that one.
No, I have the white polybagged edition, but it was that wasn't the one that had Superboy on the cover.
Oh, okay. Well, it was probably one of the following issues then, because he was in Adventures of Superboy.
Right, Superman, I think it was... Remember they did those die-cut covers for the Reign of Superman.
Yes, that was 501. That was Adventures of Superman 501. So that's probably what you were thinking of.
Yeah, and I was very, Jason and I would sit there and talk about it, and we'll be like, who do you think it is? Which one do you think
yeah.
it is? I thought it was a cyborg, because in my mind, it was like, if you look at his face, it looks like it could be a part of his face, and then, like, he's mostly, you know, like, more machine now than man, twisted
right.
and evil, you know, and it was like, I never in a million years would I have thought it was the Eradicator. It was like he's part merged with the Eradicator, you know what I mean? And it's like, it was the alien, and it was, how did that work, Jody? It was the alien. He was the alien. And he had on that black and blue suit.
With the Eradicator?
Well,
yeah, he's like a Kryptonian artifact that had Superman's DNA and was able to, I'm just going off the top of my head here.
Yeah, but they were merged, right? They were like, and then they split, and then Superman had the black suit with the long hair, and then there was just the Eradicator, right?
Yeah, the Eradicator and Superman were two totally different entities, right?
Yeah.
Superman was dead the whole time, but ended up, I don't know, it's a pretty convoluted story and one I haven't read in a while, but I'm going off my best memory. But yeah, they were two different entities.
Right, and the thing was like, no offense to anyone out there, but who in a million years would ever think Steel would be Superman?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Agreed. Well, that's what I thought. And they, I know, I remember in one of the issues, they made it sound like, well, maybe he, I think Lois thought, Lois was the one that thought maybe it was him, because his personality resembled Superman's the closest, and he had saved Steel from, like, a near-death experience during the Doomsday fight, so
yeah.
I think that they tried to make it sound like maybe he was, I don't know, reincarnated inside his body or something like that,
yeah,
to
see,
like,
that,
give
to me,
you
that's
some
the,
sort of
yeah.
plausible, I know what you're saying,
yeah.
but to give you some sort of plausible reason why maybe it could be him.
Right.
But I always thought it was a cyborg Superman, because
yeah.
he looked the part.
Exactly.
And I remember Dr. Emil Hamilton did some tests on him and said, like, oh, he has Superman's DNA, you are Superman. So that made me think, oh, that must be him, but you find out pretty quickly that he's a bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how that works, and, you know,
yeah.
convoluted 90s comic storytelling kind of explained all that away, but it was, like you said, you're trying to make sense out of something that was, like you said, trying to solve the mystery of which one was the real Superman. You're trying to solve a mystery for something that was not a mystery at all, because they never intended on any of them to be the real Superman.
Yeah.
But when you're 11, you're trying to make sense out of these things.
Yeah, and see, I didn't spend a whole lot of energy on it, because I was hip deep in the middle of Maximum Carnage, or getting close to Maximum Carnage, because the debut of Carnage was 91.
And yeah, so, I think Maximum Carnage was 93.
Right,
that,
but what I'm saying
the
is they were in the middle of building that up, is what I'm trying to say. So everything
okay.
was fresh. Everything was fresh and new in Amazing Spider-Man and Web of Spider-Man, because you had this new player on the block. And so my attention was on that. So I was very peripheral with Superman, Death of Superman, and, you know, all that stuff. And it was like, I was very turned off by, like, when Wizard Magazine was out, which was a price guide at the time, it's like, they had the newsstand edition, they had the platinum edition, they had the ashcan edition, they had the gold edition, or whatever it was. And they would do, like, with their really high-profile comics, remember? And even, like, Dark Horse would do this, and Image would do this. They'd have, like, 15 different versions of, like, the same comic book. And I'm like, can I please just have a newsstand edition and just get this over with? Give me the issue... the Death of Superman, where it's just like a stick in the ground with his cape, you know, draped on it and flagging.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah, just give me that.
I'm
That's
looking
all I
at
ask
it right
for.
Now.
You
I'm
couldn't find a
copy
of it on the newsstand. Everyone, they were sold out.
Right.
And this is with mass produced comic books, like, to the nth degree, and you couldn't get a copy
right.
of it.
I still now I have that third printing I mentioned earlier, the one
yeah.
I'm looking at right now. And I have I have one of the black bag editions that came with the armband and the obituary and the poster, but I found that in a dollar bin down in Syracuse probably 10 years ago. But that's the only copy I have ever seen. I've never seen one because I would probably buy another one just to have to give to somebody. Or I don't know if parents or if people have bought all these and stashed them away and said, oh, that's junior's college someday, because they're wrong. But like you said, for something so mass produced myself, and I'm someone who goes through a lot of back issue bins and quarter bins when given the chance, I've never come across another copy. You don't see them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Jason, he was pretty hot and heavy into the X-Men stuff and Executioner Song and all that, and it was like, we're both pretty peripheral, at least that I
recall. Super, well, I mean, everybody kind of jumped on the Superman bandwagon at that time, and I had just jumped on right before that, and so to have all this stuff happen at that time really amped it up for me, and I think I bought Superman books right through the rain, but once they brought him back and he had like a mullet, I was kind of out after that point.
Yeah, well, it got real bad too when they did the electric Superman with the blue and the red.
We have a friend of ours that I think owns all the Superman books from that period, but I could never get into that. And like you said, the death of Superman 2 also kind of ushered in that era, which is still going strong 25 years later now, it ushered in the era of the event, like, gimmick event comic. Because it was Death of Superman, followed by Maximum Carnage and Nightfall, and now everything is some big gimmick event, and nobody buys it anymore, unless it's something special. A lot of the events are just, especially on the Marvel side, are just non-events that people see through them for what they are, and it's just a cash grab.
Yeah.
Just a cash grab, and it unfortunately does not pull the same... I mean, think about it. In the last 25 years, they've killed off just about every major comic hero just to bring them back, just to try to make that cash grab, and it's seen diminishing returns. The only thing I can think of even nearing the death of Superman was the death of Captain America around, I think that was in 07. That was a pretty big deal. That was on CNN. But again, he was back within, I think, a year and a half too. So
did Cap Wolf take over?
No, it was U.S. Agent.
Oh, nuts. Well, hey, at least U.S. Agent had a Toy Biz figure.
Hey, I like U.S. Agent.
So do I. No complaints here. Too. Yeah, man, we gotta do another full comic book podcast about particular characters. We gotta do that again. This is very fun.
Doing a top five underrated, overrated, something. Let's let the fans decide. Write in with some suggestions.
Yes, heavy hint
what
people.
Would you like to hear us here?
Heavy hint people, write in some suggestions, because I put an opportunity out there for people to provide them, and we're a little light in the horses. So
for yourself.
Your shelf?
No, light in the horse. I don't know what light in the horses means.
It means there wasn't a lot of power behind it.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get a lot of horsepower on it.
I see.
No, but we should do that again. That's cool, you know. And well, you know what I would really like to see the death of? Canned cranberries. That's what I'd really like to see the death of.
So Thanksgiving, right? So are you a cranberry fan or not so much?
No, you kidding me? It tastes good up front, and then it tastes like dirt. You kidding me? It's terrible. Rotten.
I could drink a glass of cranberry juice, but as far as like that canned cranberry on the plate, I gotta pass. I like those cranberries. They have two styles. You have the cranberries that look like the actual berries, and then you have the stuff that comes straight out of the can that looks like a Jell-O mold.
Oh, Mom.
Makes the sound. You just kind of shake it like a ketchup bottle, and as the air makes its way out, just flops on the plate.
Yeah. It's like it goes. It's like cat food, and you know, you put it out there on the. Oh, and my mom would be the. Oh, she goes, I'm the only one who eats these cranberries. Every year I have to eat them, and she'd put them on a plate, and she'd put some saran wrap over the top, and she'd just finish them off in like 3 days, and it was like my dad would go for the green beans canned, you know. And so it was like the only thing my mom would make would be, that was like fresh would be the biscuits, the turkey, and the mashed potatoes. We got mashed potatoes. And so we'd have those and stuff. And it was really funny because, like, we'd have pistachio pudding. And for some reason, I thought the Statue of Liberty was supposed to be in the middle of that. And I think that was from a gag that my sister was trying to play on me when I was a little kid. Because it was just that green, you know, like the tarnished copper.
And, yes.
She goes, now, there's supposed to be a statue in there, but this year it's not there. But next year we might. So, I remember something like that. So, like, when I was like, really, really young, I was like, where's the statue? And everyone would get a big kick out of that.
Pistachio pudding, what is that? I've never heard of that. That does not sound good. Green pudding does not do...
Okay, all right, let's hold the phone here for a second. Are you serious when you don't know what pistachio pudding is?
Well, I can guess what it is, but I've never had it before. I've never seen it before, but I can guess what it looks like.
You
it,
have
that
never
does not
seen...
sound good.
Okay, that just blows my mind, Mr. Yearden.
No, we do not eat it.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was aqua green color, kind of. And, I mean, it's like one of your staple, like, kind of puddings. It's like...
Yeah, I know. Don't they put that in the snack pack? Don't they have pistachio pudding in the snack pack?
Oh, yeah, that's standard. Yeah.
Oh, I was kidding. I don't think they... Do they really?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. There's money to be had there. But...
Sounds gross to me.
It's pretty good. I enjoy it. I like pistachios anyway. No, but it was like... My mom would always, when she'd cook the turkey, be really dry. And I was fine with that because I could drink all the ginger ale I wanted to. And it was the only time that, like, besides Christmas feast, we would actually sit at the table and eat as a family, you know? Because the rest
yes!
That was the only time. So
what I was going to say, yep. We would gather as a family at the table probably about three times a year, and that was one of the big three.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because it's like, oh, man, the cat took a dump behind the hutch again. Gosh! Sitting there trying to eat, and he'd, you know, smell it. And it was like, fresh pile back here, fresh pile! And so it was like, it was really funny because we'd put on, like, classical music, or just listen to, like, you know, pretty low-key dinner music. And, it was always classical. And I said, Mom, don't put on that Kenny Rogers tape right now. Please just don't.
I'm getting a mental picture of you, like, so here you are, you're eating your pistachio pudding, listening to classical music while you're smelling cat poop that's behind the hutch. Like, we're trying to keep it classy with the pudding and the music, but then you've got, you know, you've got this dookie smell that's 3 feet away from you behind this hutch that, well, we'll get, somebody get the yardstick, we'll get it after dinner.
By that point, the cat is finally kicked out of the house. Yeah. But it was like the leftovers and stuff that would be, it's like, okay, guys, you guys have far exceeded the time allowance for leftovers. And it's because of that even to this day, I don't eat anything more than it's maybe 1 year or 1 year. Yeah, that'd be disgusting.
My eyebrows at that one. Leftovers are gross. If it's older than a calendar year, I'm out.
It was like I don't eat anything that is over a day after the fact. I just don't. It's something about people putting mashed potatoes in a Ziploc bag or putting
it's
like
that good.
And my mom would be like, she'd be the only one that would have the dark meat, and I despise the stuff. Then I despise it. Oh, it's gross. I don't like the texture, and so it was like, I would only get, like, the nice big pieces that I know, like, you know, like I said, if I had to have some ginger ale to wash it down, I'm good. But we didn't do, like, sweet potato, like, or anything like that, to my knowledge. If she did, I didn't eat it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sweet potatoes were kind of exotic as a kid. Now yeah. I love them. I think they're great. But, yeah.
Yeah, same
kid,
here.
I'm not eating that. I think we had squash, and squash is not quite as fanciful as sweet potatoes, so
yeah,
take or leave the squash, but sweet potatoes are all right.
Yeah, we did squash in my house. I never ate it though. My brother and I were so picky as eaters. We're like, okay.
Oh, I was too. Yeah, I was too. I would eat the mashed potatoes, and that was about it. That and the stuffing. Now I'm gonna stop you for a minute because sure. I think because I disagree with you on dark meat. I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I could just never get... It's the texture. I just can't do it.
I understand. My wife is the same way. She is a full pass on the dark meat. So if we get like a chicken or something, usually I eat from the bottom and she eats from the top, and everybody's happy.
Is it kind of like the texture of like baby back ribs?
It's like, just kind of it's a little very
bit... Oh, go ahead.
It's juicier, but it's kind of like you got to really get in there to get it. it's from the underbelly, you know. It's from the underbelly. It's not that nice fanciful white meat. Like you gotta kind of work for the dark meat, but it's juicy and it's, I don't know, I like it.
Oh, okay. Well, the biscuits were the other thing I really liked. I mean, I love starch and I love as you all know, I'm a connoisseur of bread machine bread, of course. But my mom's biscuits are always really good. What about your, how do you feel about, now, within the exception of the last 4 or 5 years, Black Friday was a big deal because they wouldn't let you in the store until, like, what, after midnight, correct?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, until sometime within the last decade, probably 5, 6, 7 years, it used to be at midnight. Everything went down at midnight or would go down at like, it wasn't even midnight. The stores would open at like 6 or 7 in the morning, and then it got gradually, well, instead of 6, let's open it at 5. Let's open it at 4. Let's just open it at midnight. And somewhere within the last 5 years, they've started scaling it back to Thanksgiving.
I don't like that. I don't care for that. And it's just a money grab.
Well, I don't have a problem with it because of this. Most of the time they start these sales at like 6 o'clock, like 5 or 6. And for most people, their Thanksgiving is over with by that point. So, right. You know, if it started at some point, if it starts at noon on Thanksgiving, then yeah, I have a problem with that. But a lot of times, most of these places don't open till 5 or 6. Most folks eat a kind of like mid-afternoon. I think my Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow is at like 5, which is actually kind of late for us, but a lot of years it's at like 1, 2 o'clock. So, you know, I guess if your day is kind of over with by that point, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's usually like a pattern of like, okay, let's look at all the circulars and see what they've got, you know what I mean? But it's like,
yeah.
But honestly, with the advent of the flash sale, that's pretty much rendered... I don't think people do that as much. Or at least, I guess I should say, from what I've noticed, the sales you get from those ads, they're not very good. Or
I think it depends. Depends on what you're looking for.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like if I want to have... Well, what's something you are currently looking for that you are hoping would be in an ad that you get a good price on?
Okay. For instance, I have looked at the Black Friday ads, and I know on Black Friday or Thanksgiving, they open at Thanksgiving, I think it's at Walmart, I believe the Spider-Man Homecoming Blu-ray is like $7 or $8.
Okay.
Instead of like 20 or 25. So that's a pretty good deal.
That's no, that is. That's pretty good.
I'd like to pick up.
I would like to get the, I want the 4K version.
I think that was on sale someplace else that I'd seen. Maybe Best Buy for like $15 or $20. I know that those run a little, those run what, like $30? Those are a little bit more expensive.
Actually, they do have it. I'm not trying to plug any of these department stores, but I did see it on the shelf a couple days ago for like $27.99 for the 4K, mm-hmm. which was, and then the Blu-ray version was like $23.99, so it's like a $3 to $4 difference, but under $30, it's still pretty good.
Right. I figured that, I was thinking that's when it ran. Some place had it for like $15 or $20, which I knew was a pretty good deal for a movie that's only been out for about a month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I what I'm really hoping that they'll start doing is like, me personally, my consumer tastes are the things I want to get, you can't get like around the town in the stores. And I'm a very specialized kind of person. Like I need to, it's like, get me a new part for my Knight Rider replica that I'm working on right now. Or get me, I want to have like a, I don't know, like a special edition, like Star Trek soundtrack. That's like a 2-disc. You can only get online from like Crescendo Records or something. Yeah, there you go. You know, import stuff. I mean, that kind of thing.
And right. So you have like, something you're not going to get off the shelf at Best Buy. You have a very specialized, like specific taste.
Yeah, and I'm an odd duck, so it's like, no, that's not any...
Sure, sure.
That's not any jabbing.
Very odd. You're a very odd duck.
Hey, yes. Man, I revel in it. but it's like, I guess the thing that would be nice is, like, if they... One of our listeners, Travis Porter, one of the things he's after is, like, the last version of the 3DS they're ever going to make. You know, so I guess if you're looking for, like, a handheld system or some games, you know, in addition to the movies you talked about, I think that'd be pretty good if you get it. And usually, you know what? They mass produce those so much nowadays, like, you don't even have to, like, reserve anything.
And, no.
And unless it's, like, a Nintendo a Mini or something, or, like, a whatever they call that thing now. But I guess you're absolutely right. It depends on what you're looking for, but I'm sure nowadays... Yes. Like, you've said it in the past, Jody, where it's like, everything is like, this is just for you. Just handpicked just for you. And so, like, the online aspect of Black Friday specials, now they email them to you. They're all over your Facebook page, Amazon. You get, like, the side ad on the side that's just for you. And because they track everything you do for your consumer. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, that takes a lot of the magic out of, like, you know, historically how Black Friday sales were. Because it was like,
yeah.
And not only that, it's like how stupid people are. And they're hurting each right. other, trampling each other. It's a horrible thing, and it's not worth it. And that's, you know, I gotta agree with Steve Austin on, like, there's one episode of his podcast where he was talking about how, like, he doesn't even go out and shop because it's like he can just go get his stuff off the internet and just buy it for people and get it out of the way. And it was like, he's absolutely right. And honestly, I worry about the safety of my loved ones when they go out to the stores because people are insane. They're terrible. There's a dark side to Black Friday. And it's no joke. I mean, people getting trampled. There's people getting fights. People getting things stolen. And it's just, it's terrible. And... I don't know. I'm kind of over it at this point.
I think a lot of the, like you said, nowadays, Amazon price matches everything, and most of those sales, you can get the stuff online. So you really, in a lot of instances, you don't even need to leave the house to go. I have been out, I think, the last couple of years. I've gone out Thanksgiving night. But if the sale starts at 6, I don't go out until about 9:30, and it's actually died down a lot. The places are they usually close by like midnight. If you wait a couple hours, it's really not a big deal at all. There's not a lot of people out. At least where I live, things might be different where, you know, the listeners might live. But
yeah,
I've been out the last couple of years, and it hasn't been a big deal at all. But also, I'm not somebody that, I think if you're going out with the, like, say you're going out this week and you are going to make it a point, I want to get a 4K TV for $400. Well, then you might have a bit of a fight.
Good
I'm not
luck
looking
with that.
For anything. I'm not looking for anything that grand. I usually go out looking for, like, toys or video games or like, DVDs or something. And usually that stuff is not hard to come by. A lot of times with those DVDs, you could go in the next day or the rest of the weekend and still get that price and still find what you're looking for.
And like, so, yeah, I mean, it's in a lot of that stuff is like, buy it online, get it way early. And I just, there's been some years past that stores, as far as like in-person shopping, they have not been really putting up any bargains, like anything. And like a lot of the doorbusters they have are like pieces of crap. Like, they had a Best Buy here where, like, at least around here, people camp out in tents still. And they do. That's what they do around here. They camp out in tents and they all night. And nothing has changed in that aspect. And, I mean, some years it'll be bitter cold. And we had one year where it was snowing and they had people in tents outside or people just sitting in those fold-up, you know, chairs, you know what I mean? And it was like, well, what are you in line for? Well, I'm really here to get the you know, there for $200 I got an e-machine laptop. And it's like, that piece of crap, that thing will be slower and turds in about 6 months after all.
Yeah,
because it's full of adware and, you know, stuff that they put on there, and it's like, it's not worth it. And then, like, I remember when those Crickets came out, you know, the craft that you can make your own greeting cards and stuff. They're really popular.
Yes.
I got some
we
funny,
had one of those.
Yeah. I got some funny stories to tell you about that. So, like, my wife goes into Walmart, right? And she goes, I got in there. This lady literally pushed me over and put four of them in her cart because she didn't want me to get one. And she was really like, she was just like really kind of bummed out, because I just wanted one for myself. And right. So I pretty much said, I got you covered. So I went online and got one. Not only did I get her one, I got her like the totally decked out, souped up model of this thing for the same price that lady paid for hers. And I went on like Costco.com and got it. And that's not a plug, guys. We're not affiliated with them at all. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to think that we're affiliated with them.
Not at all.
Although if the machine would like to be affiliated with us, please contact Justin, because we would love it.
Yeah, we'll endorse your stuff.
I will endorse anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cricket, if you're listening, Cricket, I know you're listening. Yeah, we want to be in business with Cricket.
Hey, you guys make great stuff. First class, you know, all the way. You guys are wonderful.
We'd have to make these like when you listen to a podcast and you're like, oh, great, here comes some crappy ad that they're going to try and fit in there to make it sound natural when it's not. So you and me'd be like, so Justin, so tell me, Christmas, are your Christmas cards done yet? Because I've been working on mine with my new Cricket, and we'll have to make it sound natural.
Well, Jody, I'm off to a great start already. I have the DC Comics accessory pack for my Cricket.
Oh, do tell. It's been great. I've been really working on those Thanksgiving invitations. Gobble, gobble.
Save yourself the trouble of hunting down Christmas cards on the stores. Why do that when you can make them yourself? And call now.
Cricket is a real time saver and a real money saver.
Cricket or ticket?
Cricket.
Did you play the cricket? Anyway, so that was like, you know, people get knocked over and stuff, and these doorbusters are crap. And it's like you get these people, they're like, it's like weeping and gnashing of teeth over the most complete, utter garbage bargains that are out there. It's like, it's even, I think, here's what I think. I think there's some people that they get so much into the thrill of the hunt and the shopping that they're just going to go get it so no one else can have it. And then it just sits in their house in a box and they don't even use
it. Oh, I'm sure they do. To add to what you just said, when I went out last year, like I said, I went at like 9:30, 10 o'clock with my sister once things had died down. And there was this part of Walmart where there was this line of like, I'm going to say like 6 or 7 full carts, maybe even more. Full carts of those doorbusters that were like discarded doorbusters, where, like you said, somebody grabbed 4 of them and said, Glenda, did you want one of these? Did you want one of these bread makers? I grabbed one for you. And like, they have no intention of buying it, but I was first to grab it, so let me get one so you can't get one.
Glenda.
You know, so it was full of like a bunch of stuff. I think one of the carts had like, look like a frozen pizza or something in it, too, that had been defrosted for several hours.
It's just thawing out.
Like, boy, this is a mess. I'm like, what's wrong with people? They just grab crap, whether they were going to buy it or not, just so they have it so somebody else can't grab it.
It's just totally, well, I got a it's big a mob mentality. You know, it's terrible. People act like freaking animals. You know, and you see this kind of behavior, and you're thinking, all right, what's wrong with this picture? Why is there a subset of people that are like this? And then you think to yourself, I wouldn't in a million years never even think to do something like that. But then there's like a large amount of people that do this kind of stuff. What kind of a swim lane are they in? I don't. It's weird.
I don't need a 32-inch Element TV, but I'm putting it in my cart.
Piece of junk. Where's that Polaroid I wanted? Where's that Polaroid television?
I was at Target today, and I saw a local radio show host here in Watertown, and he was proudly walking out with an Element TV. He obviously got a very good bargain on, and it cracked me up.
This is a great by Kobe.
Wow, this is like one of the top 20 brands.
Nice. The doorbuster. It's a set of wireless cost headphones. KOSS.
It's a cost.
Look, it's an Emerson. This is wonderful.
Now, cost is long out of business.
They are not out of business. They make headphones.
They just don't. They don't venture into the TV market anymore. What is the current day version of cost?
What's that?
What is the current day version of cost?
I believe the current day version of COS are the headphones. I think they do wireless headphones.
No. I mean, what's a real cheap? What is it, a Westinghouse? Is that, that's a pretty bad TV, right?
No, those are actually pretty good. I actually have one upstairs in my living room. That makes a lot of friggin' sense. No, I have a 42-inch Westinghouse that I got from Costco, which actually were pretty nice. I don't think they make TVs anymore. But I had a 2010 model. They typically would make, so Westinghouse is a big company, and I'm not going to go into all the conglomerates that they're involved in, but they put it this way, they've got they're spidered out to a lot of different, industries. And so, a lot of times TVs are used in hotels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so Costco only, I feel like I'm doing a plug here, Jody. Put it this way. I got the Westinghouse at Costco a long time ago. It's a really good TV, but it's not a smart TV. You know what I mean? Because it's an older TV. It's still HD. Yeah, I mean, it's... What were you asking me again? What kind of TV was Westinghouse? That's pretty much
I thought it was a chintzy TV, but you're telling
not
me...
Not at all. It's kind of like one of those brands where like it's really good, but it's not commonly sold in places where a Sony would be or a Samsung.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a step below. It's a step below.
I would say that. Yeah, I would say that. Like, I mean, like I got the television I have now in my living room, it's a Samsung Curve. It's a 65-inch Ultra HD. I got that for pretty good price. And you know, here's a little tip for folks out there looking for televisions. What you do is if you've got a warehouse type store near your house, like a Sam's Club or something like that, a lot of times what they'll do is it's usually around summertime, they will clearance off the previous year's model, okay? And you can usually get it for probably 40 to 50% off because they're just trying to get rid of them. And the last two TVs I bought, that's what I've done. The thing is they still have the full warranty with them and stuff, but... like for this time, like when I bought a TV this year, the model that I got, the new model that was coming out, because they're discontinuing this one, that mine is not, the one I have now is not Bluetooth capable. Well, for me, I don't need that. I don't care about that. My sound system, I've had the same sound system. I bought it at Circuit City in 2003 at a Black Friday sale. And it's a really nice TV or a really nice sound system. It's amazing. It just shakes my house, right? But it's wired. It's not Bluetooth. Well, I don't need anything Bluetooth because I love the stereo system that I've got, my surround sound that I have. So it's kind of like if you're not really into all the frou-frou stuff, just go ahead and go and you can really find some good deals with TVs. And that's my 2 cents on shopping for televisions. Same thing with computers or laptops or anything. I mean, my phone, I do the same thing. It's like, I don't need the latest and greatest thing because you're just wasting your money. I mean, that's just my 2 cents on, like, you know, TVs and gadgets and stuff like that. And what's your opinion on that kind of stuff, Jody?
No, I agree. I agree. You might as well wait a year or two until it's not the latest and greatest and then pick it up at half price.
Yeah, well, they're trying to get rid of this stuff. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like, you know what I noticed? Like Lego sets and stuff like that. Because you're talking about toys and the kind of stuff you buy on Black Friday. What I noticed was that the Lego sets, they're at least 20% cheaper than they've ever have been before, like right off the bat without any sales. Because like they had like the some of the Batman sets, Lego sets they've got, and there's like,
yeah, they're kind of clearanced out a little bit, aren't they? I guess you're right.
I think they're trying to get the price point down to where like the girl kind of version of Legos would be like the Friends, Lego Friends. And I think what they're trying to do is get the close the gap on as far as the price point on the boy sets and the girl sets, so that more people are going to buy these things. Because right now, the problem with Legos is they're just so expensive. I guess I would pay the money because you can use those sets to build other things. You're not just stuck with like a Batman set or something like that. And I mean, if you've got a really good imagination and stuff, you can really use those parts for a lot of other things. So I don't think it's too bad.
I forbid my son from taking his apart to do any of that.
That's very close-minded of you, Mr. Yearden.
No, because those are expensive, and once they get taken apart, then they
get lost, you're losing pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I can see that.
taken apart and not put back together. So,
well, that's a different story, so. Yeah. Well, I had a castle playset when I was a kid, and it had a bunch of horses and stuff. And but we were too young to have Legos like that, because I was probably like 4 or 5. It's like, why are you getting me this? You know, you should just get me this Dr. Octopus Secret Wars with have the tentacles fall off. Yeah. But no, that's my thing. What I do with Black Friday, Jody, is I go through and I pick the bones. I'm a scavenger.
Well, that's the thing. Like you were saying, I think if you're going to, if you're going for TVs, good luck with that, because you're going to have to fight people. But yeah. I think if you kind of cherry pick different, like, that's what I do. Okay, I'd like 2 things here, 1 thing here, and we'll see what we can find. If you're going to cherry pick a little bit and kind of keep your expectations low, then I think you can be successful.
You know, it's funny because, like, I remember I hit up Walmart. Because, like, where I live, we've got 3 Walmarts. And we have 3 Walmarts and 2 Targets and, like, probably 5 or 6 GameStops. And it's just, like, retail central, you know. And so, because out here in the middle of the desert, you got nothing to do. Well, you can spend money and eat now, you know, because they have all these chains and everything else. But it's like, I went to Walmart 1 year, and for, like, 2 years in a row, they would have these Hasbro, they call them like retail packs, I think, or value packs, super value packs, I think they call them. And what it is, it's a cardboard, giant piece of cardboard with holes cut out, and then the card backs of the figures, they're 3 3/4 inch, they slide them in there, right? And I've got 3 different sets. I have an Iron Man set, I have an Avenger set, and then I have a Star Wars set. And what they would do is you would get 8 figures for $24. That's amazing, and that's a good doorbuster. You know, if you want to get toys for your kid or something like that, and it's like, they quit doing that, and it's because they took the price of 3 3/4 inch figures and jacked it up so high, so they're not going to offer those anymore. A lot of the things like that I look forward to for Black Friday are non-existent now.
Right.
And it just feels like the real bargains are gone, and like, I don't know, but that's me.
No, I see. I can see that. I just looking through stuff this year. Like I said, aside from those games, I really didn't see much that I was gonna. And even that was something like, well, if I make it out, that's okay. And if I don't, well, wait 6 months and I can pick it up just as cheap. So I didn't really see much I had to have. Now let me ask you, because we've kind of gotten off. I mean, I wanted to talk Black Friday, so that's good. But Thanksgiving, how do you feel about stuffing?
I like the stuffing, that I make myself. I didn't like the stuff that my mom made because I couldn't, it's too slimy for me.
You like a drier.
Yeah, I like something that, I like something that's a little more dry, and I'm kind of like that a lot of my food. I don't like slimy food. I cannot stand it. It's like snot, and I can't stand it. And I'm very picky, too, about cheeseburgers and anything else like that, where, like, around here, this part of the country, they use a lot of potato bread, it's yellow, right? As opposed to like regular white bread, it gets all slimy. And if it sits on that burger or anything else for too long, it gets slimy and I can't stand it. And I'm like that with stuffing. I need to have like, cause you and I, well, I don't know if you really worked, in the back, the way I did at a restaurant, but it was like, as far as like making stuff from scratch, I learned how to make really good stuffing, you know, and so it's kind of like over the years of doing that, I've learned how to make food that I like and that everybody else likes. And some of the stuffing that like you'd eat at someone's house is more home style as opposed to restaurant style. So that's probably the why I feel the way I do, because I like the restaurant style a lot better. Because believe it or not, there's a big difference. Because remember when we worked at Cracker Barrel, and they would do those promos, and they would do their promos for like Thanksgiving and stuff, and they'd have different stuff that we do. I don't remember off the top of my head, but remember they do like those turkey dinners and stuff like that?
Sure.
And it was like, that tasted so much better to me than like some of the stuff that like, because think about it. Like, my mom was a great cook. Okay, she's a great cook. But the thing is that certain foods, it's hard to get them right. And if someone has done something so for like decades a certain way, they're accustomed to it. And it's good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I kind of alluded to earlier, my brother and I, we would not eat a lot of those foods because it was not palatable to us. How do you feel about stuffing? What kind of stuffing do you like? Do you like a lot of
any stuffing?
So you like it with onions and celery and all that, something with crunch, right?
It doesn't have to have it, but I would eat stuffing off a hubcap off the ground. Like I love it.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I don't care. I don't care. Like you said, you won't eat anything over a day old. I subscribe to that as well, except for stuffing. It could be in somebody's dirty sock that's been in the back of the fridge for 3 months. I'd still like entertain the thought of giving it a shot, and we'll see if it's still any good.
Nice. Well, well, do you like the brown, more salty gravy, or do you like the lighter stuff? What do you prefer? I don't like that light crap. I want the stuff that looks like freaking gravy.
I like whatever's going to get me fattest the soonest.
Nice. Make your fingers swell up like hot dogs from all the sodium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
I probably the heartier stuff, probably the brown stuff.
Yeah, that's what I like.
I'm a big fan of stuffing. It's the highlight of Thanksgiving to me. I'm like, a big fan.
People do like, they remember like in the, I think it was like the early 2000s, the tofurkey was like the big deal. People try to be healthy. It's like, I said, listen, I don't want my turkey quivering, okay? Get that crap off my table. And, you know, some people, they try to like, oh, let's have a healthy Thanksgiving. No. Thanksgiving is not healthy. That is garbage.
You do it once a year.
Yeah, once a year.
We didn't even talk pies. How do you feel about pie?
We got to do pie. We have to do pie. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best pies Thanksgiving, pecan pie.
They're good.
I'm going to throw my vote down for that.
Cracker Barrel has a chocolate pecan pie that my wife very much looking forward to getting this week. You can make your own, but theirs is pretty good, pretty special. So,
and again, not a plug.
No.
that's not a plug. It's not a plug. That Coca-Cola cake they had was like amazing.
Yep, Coke is amazing. Cracker Barrel is amazing.
Coke is amazing.
not a plug.
Not the nose candy. Plug. No.
Yeah, that's amazing too.
Yeah. Well, it's let me think. What else is good? You know, I didn't like cherry pies when I was a kid. I like them now. You know, if you do the pie right, and you get the filling and stuff like that, like where it's not like. Oh, how do I describe this? Like, because the apple pie is really good because of the spice thing. Pumpkin pie is fantastic.
Yep.
It's good for your eyes, too, because it's full of, I think it's...
It's good for your eyes. It's good for your eyes. I ate the entire thing.
Yeah. I lost a finger. I lost a finger, but I have better eyesight. It's good.
I want to get rid of these glasses, so I ate an entire pumpkin pie and...
it's got beta carotene in it.
Yeah. Three slices of carrot cake.
Now,
I can't move. My eyesight is good. I can't get off the couch. But
can't get out of this lazy boy. Bring me more pie. Yeah.
I can't get off the couch, and the doctor's talking about taking one of my toes next week. But other than that, my eyesight is great.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I got so much flack. Like when the first year I made sweet potato casserole, where's the marshmallows? I don't do marshmallows. You know what I do? I do pecans and brown sugar and orange juice.
I like how you think on that. Yeah, I agree. Marshmallows, a little bit of a crutch. I don't think they're necessary.
They're not, and I won that argument because after this person, it was my wife's grandmother. She goes, "This is not right without marshmallows." I go, "Just give it a try. Come on, work with me here." She tried. She goes, "This is amazing."
Yeah,
I won that battle right off the bat. It's awesome.
I agree. I'm with you. I don't think that the marshmallows are necessary.
No, I make a nice candied crust at the top of that frickin' thing. And it's amazing, and it's from my time as a chef at Cracker Barrel. And I picked up a lot of skills. There's one, like my wife's aunt, she goes, "Your sweet potatoes are the best." She goes, "I eat them for breakfast the next day. I take a bunch home with me."
Black coffee and sweet potatoes for breakfast.
Black coffee. That's awesome. Can you guys tell I've been very ill? I sound like I've been smoking cigars for the last 20 years. Yeah.
I ran out of Durrells earlier tonight. But I'm making do.
I can sing John Mellencamp songs now. Little Diddy, Jack and Diane.
Yeah, can you sing Human Wheels, please?
How's that song go again?
Oh, I don't want to sing it. It's okay. A crap song. It's better than, well, I saw you first. That song's terrible.
Oh, jeez. No, I want you dance naked. Like, I want you to see me. Like, remember that?
Yes,
it was on our jukebox at high school. In high school,
that was in the twilight of his like number one hit status. So he was not doing as well at that point.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. Yeah, it's I do. Pecan pie is probably my favorite. Apple pie is okay if it's not too tart. I don't like when people they need to use enough stuff to kind of have a well balanced bouquet, if you will.
I'm gonna give you a hot take on pie.
Okay, go for it.
It's all good. I would eat just about any of it. Same thing, if you put it in a, you know, oh boy, what is this in the back? This is, I don't even know what kind of pie this is, but it looks like pie. I would just eat it. We'll find out. I think I've eaten a slice of pie that was like a week and a half old. I'm like, well, it's apple pie. It's a little soggy, but that's okay. I'll eat it anyways.
Probably the most disgusting thing I'd ever encountered as far as a dish at a Thanksgiving feast would be what I thought was pistachio pudding, and it was not pistachio pudding. They used something that looked like pistachio pudding, same consistency, same color, everything, right? It the top layer was that, the next layer down was cottage cheese, and then below that was horseradish.
Oh my god, what is that?
I don't know, still to this day, I have no idea. They need to have a forensic team go analyze this in a laboratory.
It was green with horseradish and
cottage cheese?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is gross.
Here's what happened. 2002, I go right for this stuff. And I wasn't even married yet, we were engaged. And my wife-to-be goes, don't go for that. It's not pistachio pudding. I'm telling you, don't do it. I go, well, you're
she
crazy.
She tried to warn you.
Yeah.
She tried to warn you, go, and you wouldn't
what
have it.
Yeah, I go, what it is. I know what it is. She goes, go ahead and give it a smell. Go sniff it. And I was like, and before I had a chance to do that, someone else comes over, goes, hey, this is good stuff. Like that takes like a whole corner out of the tray. And it was obvious to me who they made it for.
I was going to say that guy's wife made it for him, and he's the only one that's going to partake.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that it went home. The rest of it went home with those guys. And
it's one of those things where, like, hey, bring a dish to pass. Well, I'll bring something that only I like and nobody else will like. So not only do I get out of, like, bringing a dish to pass, I'm bringing something for myself that I get to bring home and enjoy. It's a perfect crime. It's like bringing something you don't really have to share, but getting out of the obligation of having to bring something. So it's really
a facade
win-win.
Of being generous, yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't think of any other pies. What other pies would there be for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we covered the, I mean, no, there's always cookies. That's a whole nother vein to be tapped, you know, because it's like there's cookies. See, every year, ever since 2006, I have hosted Thanksgiving every year. And there's some years I've had like 20 people at my house. Some days not so much, you know, depending on where people are living at the time. And for me, what I like to do is we actually have those, this is not a dessert or anything, but we get those little smokies, and then we put them in a little like crock pot thing and throw a bunch of barbecue sauce in there.
Oh, yes.
And, oh, man, I remember this one year I ate so many of those I threw up like in the middle of the night. I got up. Oh,
oh. Yeah, it'd be really bad heartburn, probably, right?
You woke up middle of the night like that, and your throat was on fire, your esophagus. That was my first encounter with the food hangover.
Throw them up.
Yeah. Oh. And for about like 2 or 3 years, I couldn't eat them, but now I'm getting my flavor back for them, and so I have to pace myself and not have too many. I have to do the smoky math, you know. I think my limit's like 7, and I think I have to stop before my body's like,
7.
Oh, enough nitrates. You know, my body's like, no more. Yeah, so we do those two. Do you have anything, do you guys host at your house? You do the rounds, right?
Yeah, we usually do the rounds. This year we're doing it on two separate days, so I get to partake in two Thanksgiving meals this year, which is nice. You get to, you know, you get to see how different people do it.
That's wonderful.
I mean, you get this. Oh, so that's this is how they do stuffing over here, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's like I normally don't like going to other people's houses for that, because you find things, like, first of all, it's like, especially if you don't know the people, what if they got cats in the house? You know, oh, they let Bunky up on the counter when they're making all this stuff, you know? And Bunky, how many times do I have to tell you? In the litter box, you know? You find, like, a nice clump of hair in your food from the friggin' cat, because it's airborne all the time. And it just kind of fluffs it around if they jump up on the counter or whatever. And it's like, I don't like that kind of stuff. I like to be in, I have a big house, okay? I have a very big kitchen. It's got a center island, and it's set up like a Chef Ramsay type thing, okay? Because I do all the cooking. I like to know where all my utensils are. I like to know everything. I handle it. Crystal's really good at making, like, green bean casserole and stuff like that. She's a really good cook. Crystal's my wife, and she will deny that she's a great cook, but she's very, very good. She just doesn't like to do it. You know what I mean? And so she'll help me out with a few things, but I like to know that I have a clean kitchen, and I know exactly what's in there, what I put in there, and my hands are clean, my utensils are clean, my pans are everything. I just like, I like knowing that I don't have to worry about it, you know? And so I don't do the turkey. I have, my in-laws bring the turkey, my mother-in-law. And so we got a really cool system worked out. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and there's, you know, room for people to stretch out and have a good time, and it's pretty cool. We set up this huge table, like, really, really long. It's probably a lot easier if you go and actually make the rounds, I guess, because then you don't really have to cook anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm at a point in my life where I have people that would rather I don't have to cook it. They invite me, so I take them up on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a win-win, you know. They get someone to eat all the food they made, and then you don't, you know what I mean? And you
yeah,
just enjoy it.
Yeah, they make it, I eat it, and it's an arrangement that seems to benefit everyone.
Do you bring any maternity pants with you? Do you bring stretchy pants so you can...
No, it's a totally different subject, but as far as sweatpants go, I will not be seen anywhere outside of my home in a pair of sweatpants, so...
Good man.
If you ever see me in a pair of sweatpants, you better call the authorities, because I must be in really bad shape, because I will not leave the house in anything except for something that requires a belt, so...
Or Crocs. You wear your black Crocs out of the house.
No, Crocs are house shoes only. I don't even... My wife said, oh, can you go down to the store and get some gas? I can't wear Crocs. I got to put on proper footwear. What if somebody sees me? What if I step in a puddle? It's not. You can't do it.
There was a guy at one of the Walmarts here, and this was probably about 11 years ago. He was an older guy, and he had on pink Crocs at the frickin' Walmart for everybody to see. Didn't even care. A buddy of mine was with me. And he goes, check out the Crocs, like that. And I got laughing. I go, like that. The guy was in front of us in line. And he turned around, and he kind of looked at us with like a half eye kind of thing. And he goes, shaking his head like that. And he snapped a picture of the guy's shoes with his phone, you know. Some people, they're fine going out wearing pink Crocs out in public like that, like an older guy. It's probably his wife's shoes. And he's like, well, I'll just throw these on, you know.
Well, what do you expect if you wear pink Crocs out in public?
He's probably shaking his head because he's like, I shouldn't have done this, you know?
No, I won't wear pajama bottoms, and I won't wear sweatpants. Well, sweatpants, not so much, but if you're wearing pajama bottoms out in public, shame on you.
My brother, yeah, exactly. Well, my brother-in-law got stuck in a snowbank last year, and because it snowed pretty heavy here, so he has some pretty good snowbanks. He got his car high-centered on a snowbank, and... So he calls me down there, and this other guy comes out to help, and he's probably like 6'4", but he's like a beanpole, right? And he's wearing like those freaking, he's wearing slippers, and then he's got on those Zubaz pants, right? And, you know, it's like Elegante versus Kevin Sullivan, you know what I mean, with this car, right? And so I'm obviously the Kevin Sullivan guy, because I don't even clear 6 foot. But this car, the guy was like, he's trying to push it and he wasn't getting anywhere. Right. I go, enough of this. I got under the car and I picked it up off the snowbank because it was a Ford Focus. I go, I go, no. I go, yeah, like that. And I picked up the car and got it off the snowbank. And he's like, yeah. The guy gave me a high five. It was really
funny. Well, why are you telling me this? Because the guy was wearing Zubaz pants?
Yeah, and slippers. Okay. In a snowbank. Yeah. And just
he's improperly dressed.
Yes, and it was like, of all the places for people to wear that kind of stuff, that was one of the worst times to do that.
Yeah, you got to be prepared.
Yeah, I was like, so, and that's why people get sick all the time. It was just pouring rain here a couple days ago, and I was actually leaving Walmart, and I saw all these people. They do that thing where they clutch their arms close to their sides, and it's like, what did you expect? It's after dark. It's 6:30 at night. It's 48 degrees and raining.
Uh-huh.
Get your friggin' jacket, okay?
Wearing pajama bottoms and no underwear to Walmart seems... Wearing pajama bottoms and no underwear to Walmart seems like a great idea until, you catch a brisk 15-mile-an-hour wind from the north, and yeah. then it's not good.
Swing low, sweet chariots. You're going to freeze your baguettes off. And it's like, I just don't get it. You know, and if more people wear jackets, people wouldn't be getting sick so much. And I take great umbrage when I see someone who is not properly dressed for the elements. So, yeah, anyway, do you think, is there anything else you want to cover about Thanksgiving or anything at all on this episode of Case in Point?
Nope. The only thing I'll add is I did watch Garfield's Thanksgiving tonight, and
is it pretty good?
It's okay. It's not as good as Garfield's Christmas, but it's not bad.
Does he use a voice? I can't even do it. We should get my brother on here to do it. He does a great Garfield. That guy's unmatched.
Garfield's Christmas was better, but it's not bad.
Is there a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I caught this on YouTube.
Oh, I see.
I caught it on YouTube. It was totally free of charge. From 1989, I think, off the success of Garfield's Christmas in 88, they made a Thanksgiving special in 89, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
If you like those 80s Garfield shows, which I do, and I imagine you probably did too.
Absolutely. I love the art, too. I like the art. It's like... It reminds me of the, like, Dennis the Menace style art from, like, Dairy Queen, you know, or when he had his own cartoon. It was great. It's great. We should do an episode where we revisit those great cartoons. And I know some of our loyal listeners out there would love to send in some ideas about that. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You guys, please, if you guys want to hear us talk about something, if you got any suggestions, even throw some guest suggestions out there. Because you know what? I'll go after these guys and get them on here if I can. So I don't back down, you know, anything at all, guys. You guys got any suggestions out there? I read everything. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Jody, I appreciate the reviews on the movies, and it's kind of stoked my interest to do maybe a couple of comic episodes at some point about maybe the things you like about the Justice League in general. I'd like to hear about, but maybe get into some of the older comics that that you like, and maybe we could talk about that at some point.
Sure.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate you sticking around, and I'd like to just do a few plugs here. We got the McSauce podcast with Ian, Paul, and Matt. Those guys are great. If you guys want to hear anything about comic books, movies, pop culture in general, those guys are really good, and they know their stuff. Those guys, you know, I listen to their episodes, and I'm like, man, I get schooled, you know, because there's things that either I have forgotten about and they remember, or they're on top of stuff. So if you guys want to stay like up to date with what's going on and get a little dash of maybe some nostalgia to go with it from their memories of these things, like comics and stuff, check them out. They're really good guys, and they're pretty active on their social media pages on Twitter, and definitely check them out. They're big supporters of the show. Another podcast is Fireside Chat with Ryan McCormick. He's a big supporter. We have had him on the show before. We did a wrestling episode. I was on an episode of his actually a year ago in October. Ryan McCormick's a great guy. Tells it like it is. So definitely check him out. We appreciate it. And Jody, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right, cool.
Nice talk.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. So... I think I'm done rambling for this evening. But yeah, guys, definitely have a good and safe Thanksgiving. Stay safe out there on the road, and eat lots of potatoes and eat lots of everything and get fat. All right, have a good night.